From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Hello and welcome to our gospel program. We're delighted you're able to join with us. May God be pleased to bless both preacher and listener. Perhaps we could turn to the Bible right away, and we'll read from Luke chapter 23. We read this portion last week, and we read it again, for it is in this portion that our study will be centered this evening. Luke chapter 23, the verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. May God bless His word to our hearts. We're going to play another extract now from the free sermon tape that we're offering to our listeners. It's a tape of a sermon I preached a little while ago. It was a subject that I dealt with in response to an attack upon the Bible's teaching on the soul and God's hell. If you would like a copy of this tape, you have only to contact us, and you will get information on how to do that at the end of the program. Be sure to contact us and obtain this tape. It's full of good teaching, and I trust that those who have received it have enjoyed listening to the message. Now, here is the extract. We're taking up the thought that the body is of less importance and less value than the soul. Something that most people, sadly, do not appear to believe, for they treat their body as something of supreme importance while they neglect their soul. Here is a part of the sermon then. As you read the Bible, you will see that this is implied. This truth is implied. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, verse 15, this verse actually was what prompted me to preach this message. I read this chapter in the book of Daniel, and as I was reading it, I came on this verse, and it just sat out. It sat out. In Daniel chapter 7, and the verse 15, we read, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Daniel was troubled in that part of his being which resided in the midst of his body. His spiritual being was troubled by what he had just seen in the vision. Interestingly enough, the Aramaic word that is translated here by the English word body, for this section of Daniel was written not in Hebrew, but was written in Aramaic or Chaldee. And the word here that is translated into the English word body literally means sheath. Now, I want to ask you the question, which is more important, the sword or the sheath in which the sword is housed? Which is more important? If you were a soldier now, which would you count more important? I reckon it would be the sword. Indeed, that's why you have a sheath, to protect the sword. That's the only purpose of the sheath. To carry and protect the sword. Because the sword's the vital
the vital implement. The sheath is not. When you go to war, you can take the sword out, you can throw the sheath away. And Daniel says, I have a spirit in a sheath. The sheath is called my body.
Let us turn now to our study of the sayings of Christ upon the cross. Last week, I introduced our new series to you, the sayings of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. The portion of God's Word that we read together this evening, Luke chapter 23, contains the first of the sayings of the Savior. Verse 34 has the words. It's a prayer. The Lord Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I gave you an outline of the things that we want to look at as we examine this first saying of the Savior. And the first point that I would like to consider is that here we have a lesson about forgiving our enemies. There is a great need for the people of this land to understand just what it is that God has to say about forgiving our enemies. I think we should notice that the Lord desires the forgiveness of the most wicked of men. Now, the world's history is littered with crimes of immeasurable wickedness. But there is no crime that surpasses this crime, the crucifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, here we have the Savior praying for those who had crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is endorsed when we remember what we read in the 19th chapter of this Gospel of Luke, when the Lord Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on his final visit. We're talking about an event that had only happened a few days before his crucifixion. If you look at the verse 41 of chapter 19, it says, And when he was come near, he beheld the city, that's the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Christ is here weeping, brokenheartedly weeping, lamenting over the people who in a few days' time he knew would crucify him. And that same spirit of compassion, of love, of pardon is seen here as he hangs upon the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There can be no doubt that there is in the heart of Jesus Christ a readiness to forgive the most wicked of sinners. Then I want you to notice something else. Christ prays for his enemies. Now this is what he had taught his disciples. Matthew chapter 5, we're looking at the verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So here's the Savior practicing what he preached. He told his disciples, pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemy. Love your enemy. Here he is doing that very thing. Then another thing I want you to notice, and believe me, this is equally important. He does not pronounce forgiveness, but prays that they might be forgiven. The Lord Jesus did not, in any of his sayings from the cross, he did not look down on those who had crucified him and say to them, I forgive you. Instead, he prays to his heavenly Father that they may be forgiven. Now, what point am I making here, and what do we need to observe from this truth? Well, simply this. Here is the means, and here is the path by which forgiveness is to be enjoyed. The Savior was praying that his Father would work in the hearts of those who were guilty of his crucifixion, give them repentance, that they might turn to God and be forgiven. He did not just pronounce forgiveness upon those who were guilty of his crucifixion, because forgiveness only follows repentance, only pronounced upon those who repent of their sins and look for pardon through the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The guilty, the offender, is not to be treated as if he did no wrong until he repents. That's God's way of forgiveness. 1 John, the chapter 1, and we're reading from the verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance, confession, and then forgiveness. So on the cross, the Savior says, Father, forgive them. Work in their hearts. Bring about their pardon. Bring about their forgiveness. This is God's way. Was this prayer answered? I have no doubt about it. And indeed we have proof of it. In Acts chapter 6 and the verse 7, here's what we read. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The priests had led the opposition to Christ, and here we find the very crucifiers of the Lord Jesus converted. But we have even clearer evidence of this prayer being answered. For on the day of Pentecost, Peter, when he was preaching, said this, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter is talking to the crucifiers of the Lord Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, we are told, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And on that day, 3,000 men were converted, amongst whom were those who were guilty directly of crucifying the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God! Here is a lesson in the forgiveness of our enemies, and we need to take note of how Christ prayed for his enemies and desired of his Father that they be granted repentance. May God grant you repentance today. Repentance for your rejecting of the gospel, and may you come to the Savior even now. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we Let the Bible Speak.